Is Turkey the bridge or the buffer zone between Europe and the Muslim world? And should the West care if Turkey's president prefers to be like Russia's Vladimir Putin rather than a Scandinavian liberal? Welcome to the Religion and Ethics Report, Andrew West with you. In a moment, one of Turkey's leading opposition politicians speaks of his fears for democracy in his homeland. And we go to Darwin on the eve of the 40th anniversary of Cyclone Tracy. Church attendance is down. Disaffection with organised religion is high, probably very high because of the sexual scandals. And the influence of religious leaders is waning, even when they speak of humanitarian issues such as the rights of the poor and asylum seekers. And yet, are we seeing a rising dismay among secularists? That's the question being put to a symposium this week at the University of Western Sydney. Dr. David Birchall of the university is co-convener of the symposium, Secularism and Its Discontents. He joins us now. Welcome, David.
Thank you, Andrew.
David, the most recent census data would suggest that there's a weakening of religious faith. 22% of people in Australia say they have no religion. But you think that there's another story at work here that's not told in data?
Well, there are several different stories, I think. I mean, the first thing the census data tells us is that most people still claim to have a religion. And that in itself is surprising, since that probably goes contrary to most of our observation, that most people have a very limited religious belief, if any, you would have thought, in contemporary West, possibly outside the United States. There is already, when you look at the census data, I think a question that arises there. What is the gap between what people say when they fill out the census, where 22%, I think, is actually probably rather lower than we might think, and what people say conversationally about their attitudes to what they call religion? And of course, most people nowadays will say something like, well, actually, I'm not a big fan of organized religion and the churches, but I have a spiritual side. Mm. That's not an option normally given in any simple way on the census form. So it's that enormous grey area between what people say in the census and what they say when they're asked to describe themselves as having some sort of belief. That's the great uncharted territory of contemporary religion in the West.
Yeah. Well, you talk about the West there. I mean, we are very focused, not on so much on this program, but I think a lot of our attention is focused on what we see are the prevailing trends in the West. But you say look to the non-West to see the massive growth of religion from the benign to the fanatical.
No, I think that's right. And the other thing that's really striking about religion in the world right now, which I think is contrary to a lot of assumptions that we have in the West, is that the way is being led in the non-West. The most obviously contemporary, whether aggressive or benign, forms of religion are actually outside the West. Obviously, different forms of contemporary Islam are much more focused on a very personal relationship with God and a much diminished relationship with structures. The same's true in the Christian world, really. And in many respects, the West is the laggard. I think we've had a narrative in the West for more than 100 years that said that religion was a much-loved ancestor which was being put to bed and which would be replaced by contemporary humanistic alternatives, whether you call them religions or whether you call them spiritualities or whether you call them literature or art or poetry. The world has not confirmed that idea. Instead, I think we see in the West, religion's echoes just never stop echoing.
Yes, that's right. And it's not quite a Western, non-Western binary, because what about those parts of Western countries which have non-Western origins, particularly multicultural countries like Australia and the United States?
Indeed. And of course, one of the things that's most striking about the very familiar Western intellectual narrative about so-called secularisation is that it took a certain very limited picture of what religion is that's supposed to be dying. And it's a picture, usually a highly intellectualised picture of religion, and that comes, I think, from the 19th century and the British Isles in particular, that says that everyone has to develop a kind of intellectual relationship with God and religion. And if religion fails to pass certain intellectual tests, then it must be got rid of as part of historical baggage. Mm. Now, of course, around most parts of the world, and for many people in Australia, particularly those coming from other countries, that's a very strange idea of religion. To them, it's not primarily a matter of an intellectual posture with relation to God or religion. It's an entire historical culture that most people in the world today is still a living one.
Well, David, you spend a lot of your time analysing, and I guess a bit of your time poking rather gentle fun at the assumptions of the so-called liberal intelligentsia in the West. Is that the only place where this group has got it wrong on the secular religious divide?
In a sense, I think the constituency, the intellectual constituency in the West that has the greatest investment in something called secularism, I think it's true, is the sort of liberal leftish intelligentsia. I say that as someone who's spent much of his life in that space, in fact, still identifies with it, really. Obviously, that has been one of the great foibles of the secular liberal intelligentsia has been to completely, firstly, underestimate and then misunderstand the purpose of religion and the sacred in the world. And secondly, of course, then also to invest other things with sacred qualities that they don't really deserve, politics being the most obvious one, I think. Mm. But I don't think it's simply a matter of a left-right question. There are certainly people in conservative ranks who I think probably understand religion better than many people on the left, but equally there are many people on the conservative side of politics for the longest time who have also, I think, lost any understanding of the purpose and significance of religion in the world, simply because they viewed the world as a rather atomistic, rationalised, individualised one. And in many respects, I think liberals and conservatives who are secularists share almost identical assumptions about many of those things.
Yes, that's a very important distinction you make, because as you say, there are some parts of the traditional right where religion is very, very important. That's very much at odds with, I guess, the sort of libertarian economic right, isn't it?
That's correct. I might say that Edmund Burke, supposedly the founder of modern conservatism, would never have made that mistake. He would clearly have understood, were he alive today, the enduring significance of religion. But I think one of the curious things that's happening, and I think it's a kind of paradoxical outcome of the politicisation of these debates, is that increasingly religion is being understood as culture, not actually as belief, but as culture. But on the left, that's primarily in terms of other people's religions. Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, whatever, are valuable because they belong to other people's cultures, and other people's cultures are good things. But I think a curious thing that's beginning to happen, and possibly the gay marriage debate has had something to do with that in a strange kind of way, is that the Judeo-Christian tradition is now becoming understood as culture as well. In a curious sense, Christianity is being understood as a cultural heritage. Hopefully that will liberate a fair few amongst the intelligentsia from the need to be fighting these strange old battles, to fight off the Christianity of yore in favour of some imagined secular utopia that we're moving to, which I think we're clearly not moving to. I think the idea that Christianity, as well as other religions, are to be respected as a culture and not simply as a belief system could actually be a good thing.
Finally, David, would you say that this enormous outpouring of grief that we've had for the late cricketer Philip Hughes also in some way undermines the sort of secularist narrative, not the grief itself, because everyone's capable of grief, I'm not suggesting that, but in the sense that it's been a very ritualised form of grief in the case of Philip Hughes, you know, the display of the cricket bats, for example.
I must admit, I put out one and a cap myself. it's a really interesting question. And yes, I think there is clearly still a yearning there in our society to express grief in organised ways and to collect rituals around that. That's not gone away, and I don't think it's about to go away anytime soon.
Well, Dr. David Burchill is a political scientist and historian at the University of Western Sydney. He's one of the co-conveners of the symposium Secularism and Its Discontents, taking place this week at the University of Western Sydney. David, thank you very much for joining us on the Religion and Ethics Report.
Thank you, Andrew.